Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy. I mean, you're going to get a blessing just by hearing it. But here verse 3 said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The devil hates every book of the Bible. But there are two books in the Bible that he especially hates. Number one is the book of Genesis, the beginning. Number two is Revelation. The devil hates Genesis and Revelation. You say, why does the devil hate Genesis? Because it is Genesis that tells how everything commenced and started. And of course, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, in Genesis, in the first two chapters, the devil, Satan, is not mentioned nowhere in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. The book of Revelation, the last two chapters of Revelation, the devil is not mentioned. Amen. He hates Genesis because it tells of everything that it was started and commenced. He hates Revelation because it tells how everything concludes and he loses. He's not the winner. In the last two chapters, he's not even in there. In Genesis, we see the doom of the devil is announced. And even in Revelation, his doom is accomplished. Genesis says that he will be defeated. Revelation says that the devil will be defeated. Amen. He is a defeated foe, church. We are blood bought. The devil does not win. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Amen. It is no wonder that the first and the last book of the Bible have often been objects of the devil's scorn. One man said it like this. He said, the devil has turned thousands of people away from this portion, talking about Revelation, of God's word. He does not want anyone to read a book that tells of him being cast from heaven, nor is he anxious for us to read of the ultimate triumph of his number one enemy, and that's Jesus Christ. The more you study the book of Revelation, the more you understand why Satan fights so hard to keep God's people from it. Amen. The book of Revelation is more than a final book of the Bible. It is the fulfillment book of the Bible. It tells us what the world is coming to. It tells us what to expect in the future, as well as what we will experience in the future. Through the book of Revelation, the future is unveiled, it's unfolded, it's understood. The book gives us our time, gives us our own time machine. I like this. Amen. To enter into the future and to get a glimpse of what the world is coming to. I'll tell you, we are in the end time. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't think anybody here would disagree. Amen, with that statement. And I love, Brother Prescott said something yesterday. He was preached yesterday morning. How did he title that? On the world's famous mother. But anyways, Brother Prescott said yesterday, talking about mothers and children, and he was saying that, he said nowadays, he's talking about children being a heritage from the Lord and a blessing from the Lord. And he said nowadays when a couple has a couple of children and they mention about having another child to their family and to their church people, sort of people look at them like, another one? Just, oh my. And I like what he said. I never had thought of it that. He said, but we're living in a society that doesn't think in a biblical manner. They see a child as a burden. They see a child as, oh no, there goes my career. Amen. He said, but when you look at a children with a biblical aspect, amen, the thought would be, oh great, you're going to be blessed with another child. Boy, God's good to us. Amen. Boy, and I thought, boy, there's a lot of other ideals and thoughts that we've allowed this society to change our biblical view in different matters, and we've just become part of the society. Of course, I think television has definitely played a major part in that. Can I hear an amen? It influences our culture and our beliefs and our thought pattern. All right, let me move on. Now, and I like that, but Revelation. One man wrote in his book, he's got a book called Studies in Revelation. His name's Leon Tucker. And he tells about a pastor of a large church who was asked by some of his people to teach on the book of Revelation. And he gave them 3 points why he didn't. He said, number one, now this is a pastor of a large congregation. He said, number one, I don't know anything about the book of Revelation. And he said, number two, you don't know anything about the book of Revelation. And number three, nobody knows about anything about the book of Revelation. Well, if God put a book in the Bible that is just 100% confusion, then just throw away the whole Bible, because the Bible said God is not. Thank you, Bible readers. The Bible said that God is not the author of what? He didn't write a book that was confusion, that was full of just, most of the time when people read the Bible and interpret the Bible, they, you know, it's without prayer. Is without living a life that's sanctified and holy to the Lord. And just, they just get, see all them symbols and all those, and they just, you know, but that's not the case. Amen. Sad to say, there are many who view the book of Revelation as a difficult book to understand. Some would even suggest that you can't understand the book, but this book can be understood. Amen. Furthermore, it needs to be understood. I'm not saying that you can know every single idea and every thought. Amen. I think God does allow some things to be a mystery. Amen. That's my personal opinion. That don't mean nothing. You don't have to take that if you don't want to. But the Bible declares, Revelation declares, describes, and defines the future of both the saved and the lost. Now, I want to get to our text. Verse number one, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto us his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now in verse 1, 2, and 3, lay the foundation of the entire book of Revelation. Matter of fact, the key that unlocks this door and opens to us the understanding is found right here in these verses. Amen. And if the door of understanding is to be open, we need the key that unlocks the door to the book of Revelation. And the key is found in these first 3 verses. I want to deal with you about the person of Revelation. The prophecy, I'm talking about the first 3 verses here, what it deals with, the person of the revelation, the prophecy of the revelation, and the promise that's mentioned in these first 3 verses. Amen. Now, of course, I didn't mention about John here being upon the Isle of Patmos here, but John was sent in chains as a prisoner to the small and dreary island called Patmos. Patmos was about 25 miles off of the coast of Asia Minor and the Aegean Sea, modern-day Turkey. How many's ever heard of Turkey? That's where it was at. Amen. It was while he was there that God turned, though, this bondage, amen, into a blessing. Patmos, amen, of persecution became to John the open door for service. The chains of a pagan Rome bound his body, but they could not bind his soul. They shut off from the, he was shut off from the worst of the world, but he entered into communion with his Lord he had never known before. Can I hear an amen? So when you look at Revelation chapter 1, first is its title, the book, amen, of St. John the Divine. Does your Bible say that at the top of Revelation? My Bible says that, the revelation of St. John the Divine. But verse 1 really tells us, and there's no controversial on this, every book you find on the book of Revelation, amen, agrees with this point, but the true title of this book should be the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you a little hint. This is a little nugget. Ain't that great, but it's food for thought. This is not the book of Revelations with an S. It's the book of Revelation. It's not Revelations. We say that. All of us say that. That's just the way we say it. But that's not, the Bible said it's the revelation, amen, of Jesus Christ. And it's important to understand at the very beginning that the book of Revelation is not primarily, because most people when they think about Revelation, they think about the beast, the numbers, the horses, numbers and horses and horsemen and wars and trumpets and plague. But it's not about beasts, numbers, horses and horsemen, wars and trumpets and plagues. Amen. It is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's a book about Jesus. Amen. It is first and foremost a book about Jesus Christ, and you'll never fully understand it, amen, until you realize it is a book about Jesus. The proper way to read the book of Revelation, and I like this, the proper way to read the book of Revelation is look for Jesus. The word revelation comes from a Greek word that means apocalypse, from which we get our English word apocalypse. Everybody's heard that word. Amen, I'm sure. The word means an unveiling or an uncovering. Amen. So when you see the revelation, it's the uncovering of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling. It is more than a future that is unveiled. It is more than the future that is unveiled in this book. It is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And boy, when I got into this the last few weeks, I really seen more I guess this time than any time I have read it and studied just the unveiling of Jesus in the book of Revelation. And I think that's one reason why the devil, as I said earlier, hates this book. He don't want you to see how powerful Jesus is, how that God is sovereign, that God is in control. He wants you to be worried and fretful about the future and things of that nature. But if you know Revelation, yes, there is rough times. There is hard times. I won't be able to paint you a pretty picture in the next few months, but I'm telling you, we can stay sheltered in the arms of Jesus. We don't got to be that verse that says men's hearts will fail them for fear, for that's coming upon the earth. That's not us. That ain't the church. That's that lost man. That's that lost woman out there. The church says, the Bible says to the church, you comfort one another with these words. He is coming again. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Christ is the heart and the soul of this book. He is the theme of this book. He is the preeminent feature of this book. It's the revelation, the unveiling. You're going to see Jesus, and I pray that you'll pray for me to bring it out. You're going to see Jesus like you've never seen him before in this book. The book of Revelation is a revelation of him. Christ is revealed in many ways throughout the book. Amen. Let me give you a quick outline. I'm watching the clock. I'm going to try to be very brief. Here's just a quick outline. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. Jesus is the Lord in the midst of the church. Did you hear me? Chapters 1, 2, and 3. Talking about Jesus being revealed in this book. Chapter 1, 2, and 3. Jesus is the Lord in the midst of the churches. chapters 4 and 5, Jesus is the Lamb in the midst of the throne. In chapter 6, all the way through chapter 18, Jesus is the Lion in the midst of the nations. Huh? In chapters 19 and 20, Jesus is the Lover in the midst of the wedding. And chapters 21 and 22, Jesus is the Light in the midst of eternal glory. You can condense all of this, though, amen, that is revealed about Jesus in two divisions. Amen. One of them is the return of Jesus Christ and the reign of Jesus Christ. The return, Jesus is coming. Can I hear an amen? You know, do you remember in the Gospels, right before Jesus, his death, I mean, just hours before he died, he told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. You mean one day we're going to go to the Father's house? Sister Jewel, one day you're going to go to the Father's house. How many of y'all got children? How many knows that your children love to go to grandma's house? You think Katie loves to come to Mimi's house? Brother X said, you think Katie loves to go to Mimi's house? It's just something about grandma's house. I remember when I was a boy, we'd go to grandma's house. Grandma and papa, amen, on both sides, mom and dad, on both sides, they had a dipper. I'm getting old, ain't I? That sounds old. Anybody knows what a dipper is? Anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? Have you ever had one? Amen. If you come to our little house we live in, both sides of the kitchen window there, we got a dipper on one side and a dipper on it. Of course, we don't drink out of it, but we just got red and white. Them old, back in the 50s, that red and white enamels. She's done all of that. But anyways, the old dipper, I remember going to grandma's house. Boy, that was special. And I remember eating biscuits at grandma's house when I didn't care for them. And mama's house, just grandma. I mean, I'm just giving you a carnal. But can you imagine going to the Father's house? How many's ever been to Smoky Mountains? You ever been down to Caves Cove and see those mountains? Of course, I'm from a place like that. It don't thrill me. I like the animals. I'm lived and raised like that. Creek, road, mountain. Everywhere you went, every church. It's the only place I've ever lived in my life. I didn't live beside of a creek or a river. I've always lived beside a creek. And so, and you think of the beauty and just the majestics of it. But I'm telling you, when you go to the Father's house, all right. That's a different sermon. I better not take a rabbit trail. I don't have time to take a rabbit trail to the Father's house. Amen. We sing a lot of songs about heaven. Amen. You know why? You know why we sing a lot? Because we got a lot of people that's got some folks over yonder. And you get singing about heaven, preaching about heaven, memories come alive. Thoughts of hope and communion and that great, great. Amen. But he said, this is what Jesus said right before he died. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, this is words in red. This is Jesus. And he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm telling you, I do not care. Let CNN, let Fox News, let Hollywood, amen, scoff at the coming of the Lord. He is coming. Jesus Christ has never told a lie. He said, I'm going to go to prepare a mansion, amen, but then don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. He said, I will come again. Immediately after he left this earth to go back to the Father, an angel said to those that stood around, he said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I will tell you, Jesus promised that he would come again. Oh God, both the Old and the New Testament are filled with the promises of the second coming of Christ. It has been stated that there are 1,845 references to Christ's second coming in the Old Testament. And a total of 17 Old Testament books give it prominence. Amen. 17 of the Old Testament books give prophecies about the second coming prominence. Amen. Of the 260 chapters of the entire New Testament. Amen. There are 318 references alone to the second coming, or one in every 30 verses. Amen. I'll tell you something. This thing's real. And we're right down at its fulfillment. I feel like with everything within me, 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament refer to that great event, the return of Jesus Christ. And the four books that are missing, that are not included, the three of them are personal letters written to individual persons. And the other one is the book of Galatians. For every prophecy of the first coming of Christ, which is his birth, for every prophecy concerning his first coming, which is his birth, there are eight on Christ's second coming. You understand the importance of this? Amen. The Bible. Amen. When you come to the finale of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we see Jesus coming again. Amen. Let me read something in this other little note here I've got on the Old Testament. Help me here, Lord, to find it real quickly. I don't want to bore you. Amen. There are more quotations from and an allusions to the Old Testament. Stay with me on this. In Revelation, there are more quotations from and allusions to the Old Testament in the book of Revelation than in any other book in the New Testament. There are more references, there are more quotations, more to the Old Testament than any other book in the New Testament. Matthew has, amen, which has a strong Jewish flavor, this writer said, has 92 references, amen, to the Old Testament. Hebrews has 102 references, but Revelation has, hear this, 285 such references, more than three times as many as Matthew and nearly three times as many as Hebrews. In other words, those prophecies that you see in Daniel and Zechariah, amen, and Ezekiel 38 and 39, some of those in Nahum, some of those in other scriptures, amen, I'll tell you, they're found. God's word never contradicts itself. If you think you found a contradiction in the Bible, you're totally wrong. Your interpretation might be a contradiction, but it ain't God's word, because the Holy Ghost don't make a mistake. I said the Holy Ghost doesn't make a mistake. This preoccupation with the Old Testament is significant. Even it suggests that the book of Revelation anticipates a time when God will be dealing again primarily with the Jews and the Gentiles. I like what one man said. He said he was preaching for a man in Florida. And he said this man was preaching a little bit. And he said, I'm not going to take an airplane ride, he said. He said, but I'm going to take a plane air ride. Jesus is coming again, and he will return for all who have been saved. In Revelation, we not only see Jesus returning for his children, but we also see him returning with his children. Revelation 19, we see Jesus returning to this earth, and we read, listen, Revelation 19, verse 14, I'm soon to be closing, amen. The Bible says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming down, in other words, to go battle in the battle of the great Armageddon. Amen. Who are these armies clothed in fine linen? Amen. Clean and white. Amen. I'll tell you, they're us. the church, the born again, the washed in the blood. He will come in the air for his children, and then, but then he will come into the earth with his children. Jesus will come again. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of his return, but it also reveals an unveiling. It also is the unveiling or revelation of the reign of Jesus Christ. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, I mean, he's ever heard of the thousand-year reign. But in Revelation 20 and verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There is going to come a day when Jesus Christ, amen, will not only return to this earth, but he will also reign upon the earth. Huh? Amen. As one man described it, when Jesus came the first time, and I like this, amen, he came to a cradle. But when he comes the second time, Brother Adam, he'll come with the clouds. When he came the first time, he came to a tree. But when he comes the second time, he'll come to a throne. Amen. When he came the first time, he came to a crucifixion. When he comes the next time, he'll come to a coronation. When he came the first time, he died in shame. But when he comes, amen, the second time, he'll reign in splendor. When he came the first time, he was laid in a cradle. When he comes the next time, he'll be given a crown. When he came the first time, he stood before Pilate. When he comes the next time, Pilate will stand before him. When he came the first time, the Jews rejected him as a criminal. But when he comes the next time, the Jews will receive him as the Christ. Yes, one glorious day, Jesus will rule and reign over the earth. If you have any doubts about it, read the book of Revelation. It is an unveiling of not only the returning of Jesus Christ, but the reigning of the Lord upon this earth for 1,000 years. The book of Revelation is about a person. His name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. One man said, the book of Revelation opens with a salutation. Verse number 7, let me read it to you real quick. He said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall well because of him, even so." Amen. Even so, come. Amen. "Behold, he cometh." Revelation 1 and 7 said, "Behold, he cometh," a salutation. But it closes with a supplication. And that is in John, Revelation 22 and verse 20. The Bible said, John said, "Even so come Lord Jesus." Amen. Now that's the person. Let's deal with the prophecy. Amen. Verse 1 says, we see that this revelation that God gave of Jesus Christ is given for this reason. Here it is. You ready? Ready? Read in verse 1. "To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." Now get in your mind. Help me here, Lord. John was taken on a tour of the future for the purpose of reporting what he had seen. Now you got to understand something. You go 2,000 years back in time. Amen. There was no airplanes. There was no television. There was no internet. There was no electricity. There was no cars. There were no trains. There was no electricity. Help me. I mean, any invention, there was no running water. I mean, you take every major invention that we know of our day. I mean, you talking about, you know, it'd be like going to Africa, some back in far country that we've heard Brother Rich tell about where there's nothing. Nothing. And so John hears and the revelation which God gave unto him to what? To show unto his servants. He's showing one man. Amen. The angel. Amen. But he's telling John, you go back and you write it and you send him to those seven churches which are in Asia. And of course we've read this. And so when you read this, John was taken on a tour, amen, of the future for the purpose of reporting what he had seen. Amen. Matter of fact, he says in verse 2, he said, we bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. The words bear record means to testify. What John saw, he testified to and gave a report, as we find in the book of Revelation. Who are his servants? They are Christ's bondmen, his bond slaves. It was never God's intention to hold back the meaning of Revelation, but rather to show and to exhibit, to make known its meaning. He climaxed the entire Bible with the greatest book of the Bible. You know, when you think about Jesus coming, Jesus, when you think and you believe in Jesus is coming, and the nearness of it, it'll deal with you. I heard one Bible prophecy man much, a thousand times more than I, and he said in the last 5-10 years, there have been more prophetically things happen than all the other hundreds of years since the time of Christ. And I preached a few Sundays ago on us being that terminal generation, and because of what I think I mentioned, 9 different things, and there are actually more than that, but I didn't have time. And I believe we're there. Amen. Most any Bible prophecy man will tell you that he believes that the Antichrist is alive somewhere on the face of the earth. I'm telling you, we are so close, church. Amen. We are so close. Now, the message of these prophecies, things that which must shortly come to pass. Amen. We get our word shortly. We get our word tachometer, if I pronounce that right, from the word shortly, scientists does. And a tachometer is an instrument that measures speed or velocity. Now, I looked this up, several different ones, and every commentator I looked up said the same thing. This word shortly, because see, there's some that believes that Revelation happened in 70 A.D. If you didn't know that. Some believe that the entire book of Revelation has nothing to do with us. There are some people that believe that. But I don't believe that. The word shortly, the word speaks of a fixed position in space, time, or state. There is a time set on God's calendar when the events described in this book will begin. I'll tell you something. Only God knows the hour. When these things will begin, Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, let me give you a scripture to back that up. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. I mean, the world thinks, no, nobody knows. People have attempted to guess when these things will commence and have even set dates. But Jesus, however, said that the Father only knows the hour that is set before him. Amen. These things to commence. Even Jesus said himself, he didn't know. Only the Father. The angels doesn't know. The angels. But my Father only. That killed the one, this doctor, wasn't it? Let me go on to that. That's a different rabbit trail. I don't shoot that rabbit tonight. I don't have time. But there will come a day when that which is a mystery, and I like this part. I'm soon to close. Come to the piano, hope. Amen. But there will come a day when that which is a mystery will become a reality. Every event in Revelation will happen just as the Bible describes. And listen, just like Sister Jewel told me back at the door this morning, we talking a little bit on the end time, and I like what you said, Sister Jewel. You said, she looked at me and she said, but you know, there's a lot of people now, because it hasn't happened. I don't know exact wording of it, but she said just making fun of it and just doubting it, in other words, because it hadn't happened. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. He is coming. Amen. The method of these prophecies. The word it signified. Play a little low, baby. The word signified in verse 1, and I'm closing, continuing to close. Amen. Signified. Someone has said that the best way to understand that word signified is the word sign. I fight sign. I, what is meant by that? The prophecies of Revelation are often given in signs and symbols. I mean, when you read the book of Revelation, you have horsemen riding on different colored horses. You have seals that are being broken. You have vials that are being poured out. You have beasts and various creatures. Numbers play a big part in Revelation. You see seven churches, seven spirits, seven candlesticks, seven stars, seven lamps, seven seals, seven horns, seven eyes, seven angels, seven trumpets, seven thunders, seven heads, seven crowns. There's the number 666 that's so familiar. Again, much of the prophecies of the book of Revelation are signified. The prophecies are given in symbolic form. The last thing I want to deal with is the promise, though. The promise. Many books that are a blessing to read, but however, the book of Revelation is the only book I know of that guarantees a blessing to the reader and the student. Wow. Notice what verse 3 said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." The book of Revelation begins with a promise to bless the reader, and it ends, even ends. You go to the end of Revelation, it said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." The word blessed there in verse 3, you look it up in the Greek, you know what it means? It means supremely blessed. Supremely blessed. Let me tell you something. There are some people that have got so much money in their bank account, they're so worried about the future. I'll tell you, someday it's going to burn up, and I'm not against saving and retirement. That'd be silly to say that. I'm not against that in the least. But I'll tell you, whether you got a dollar or $1 million, don't let that money affect your life and your heart. Can I hear an amen? There's two conditions on this and in this. Those that hear the words of the book, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear. Now, listen to me close. Because the word readeth means more than just sitting down and reading through the book. The word means in the Greek to know. I mean, you ever read the book of Revelation? You say, "Well, I didn't get no blessing. The book said I was going to get a blessing. I ain't got no blessing." But when you blessed is he that readeth, you got to understand the word readeth. It means to know, to understand. The word means to know. A person is blessed when they understand the book. How does one understand the book? They hear the book. The word "hear" speaks of one hearing in an audience. The word, this would seem to imply public reading and teaching of the book. So don't fall out with me. I'm trying to do what God said here. This implies to me that if a pastor will teach the people the book, both he and the people will be blessed. Lord, do it, please. The second thing is the word "heed." Heed. Verse 3. "How blessed is he that readeth, that they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things." Heed. It's not enough just to learn the book, but we must learn its truths. Let its truths impact our life. Hello. And deepen our relationship with Christ. Not only to hear the words of this prophecy, but we are to also keep those things which are written in therein. The word "keep" means to guard. Listen to me right there on this. I really like this. Amen. The word "keep" means to guard from loss or injury. In other words, we are to see to it that we do not take lightly what the book is telling us. We are to keep the truth before us continually. We are to walk and to live in the truth of the book of Revelation. You remember that story in the New Testament about the wedding, and the man sent out an invitation, and they come back and there was nobody. Then he used that word lightly. You lightly esteemed You just didn't, I sent you an invitation and you just nonchalant. Listen to me. Everybody here still awake? I think sometimes church people get in that spirit where they lightly esteem church. They lightly esteem the Bible. They lightly esteem the preaching. They just lightly esteem everything because they're caught up in this world. I don't want to read Revelation, Brother Simpson. It scares me. It scares me. You think God wrote a book to scare you? How are you going to get blessed by being scared? Come on, I'm trying to tear down some misconceptions here. God didn't write a book to scare you and I. How can you be blessed when you're scared? No, that's not it. He said, look, you can understand the reason, the signs and the symbols, and later we'll get into all that, Lord willing. Amen. John, he had never seen a car. He never seen a nuclear warfare. He never seen a warship. He never seen any of the things. And so symbolically, the best he could describe. Verse 3 says, the time is at hand. He concludes the book with the same warning at the end of Revelation. He said, he saith unto them, seal not the sayings of this prophecy. You remember in the book of Daniel, he told them, seal up the book. The time is not yet. Remember that? In the book of Daniel, when he dealt with Daniel, the coming of the Lord and the end time, he said, Daniel, you seal up the book. The time is not yet. But at the end of Revelation, amen, he told John, John, you don't seal up the book. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Whew. Jesus is coming, the time is drawing near. One of the blessings, and this is my last little phrase, one of the blessings in heeding the book of Revelation is a reward for their for loving the Lord's appearing. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Let's stand, please. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that what? Love his appearing. I like for us this next few months, this next year, start looking for his appearing. Help us not to trust in the arm of the flesh. Let us not lean to our own understanding. Lord, let us look to you from whence cometh our help. Huh? Just because we have a difference there in the coming of the Lord, let's don't shy from something that God put in his word. Let's keep a good spirit. And let's begin to pray, Lord, touch my heart. Your word said only the pure in heart. You want to see God one day? Only the pure in heart. I'll tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. How many's ever read that in the Bible? That's tough. Examine yourself to see if you be. Whew. This altar is open. Come tonight, examine yourself. Lord, am I ready?
He's coming back.
Lord, am I a true...